You're listening to Georgia Public Broadcasting. I'm Ricky Bevington. Governor Nathan Deal is ending his final year in office by vetoing a record-high 21 bills. Yesterday marked the close of a 40-day window in which the governor could veto a bill, sign it, or let it go into law without his signature. Greg Bluestein is a political reporter for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution and a panelist on GPB's Political Rewind. He joins me now in the studio. Hi, Greg.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So the big news is the high number of bills that Governor Deal vetoed. Is this typical for an outgoing governor?
Not really. And look, he's vetoed about 8 or 9 bills every year, except for in 2016 when he vetoed 16. And the highest profile, of course, was the religious liberty veto. Since then, it's been some regularly 8 or 9 vetoes, nothing too controversial until this year.
Any big surprises in terms of the vetoes?
I think the biggest surprise was what he didn't veto. I think that'd be the Stockbridge bill. Among the vetoes, the hacking bill was largely expected because of all the frustration and pushback from cybersecurity experts and tech giants who said that basically creating a crime of unauthorized computer access would hurt them in the long run by preventing supportive hackers who were kind of probing for any problems and any vulnerabilities in their websites without being malicious about it, from preventing them from taking action.
So you mentioned Stockbridge. What exactly does the governor's signature trigger?
This is unprecedented, and this is why it's so important. It would carve out land from the existing city of Stockbridge to create a new and more affluent municipality called Eagles Landing. And the reason why this is unprecedented, it would be the first time where there's actually a de-annexation of an existing city to allow those voters to vote A, to leave the existing city, and then B, to form a new city called Eagles Landing. And so there are a lot of mayors and county officials and local officials all over the state who are worried now, looking in their own backyards, could there be secession movements here and there?
And we should be clear, all the governor's signature does is allow for people to vote. It isn't in any way finalized.
You got it. It's not finalized. The vote would be as soon as November, but there's also a threat of litigation. The mayor of Stockbridge, Anthony Ford, has said left and right, even long before this, that he's hired lawyers. And after the governor's signature, his message to everyone listening is, this is not over yet. We're still fighting this fight.
As I mentioned at the top of this conversation, it's the governor's final year, and he did sign some major legislation this year that caps off his legacy, we might call it. Explain what Governor Deal's legacy is going to be.
This year alone, there was some significant legislation that mostly had a broad consensus behind it. You had the income tax cut that many Democrats also supported, and of course, Republicans were almost in lockstep behind it. You had the legislation that paved the way to what could be a dramatic expansion of mass transit. Let's counties all over Metro Atlanta vote for a 1% sales tax to expand mass transit. You had the update of the state's decades-old adoption rules. It was so fraught with controversy last year because of the religious liberty component of it. Well, that had been taken out, and so that was already signed into law. And of course, you have the $26.2 billion budget that included, for the first time in more than a decade, the full funding of the K-12 school funding formula. So those were sort of the highlights of this year's legislation. The AJC did a poll a few weeks ago that asked Democrats and Republicans separately what they thought of the governor. About half of Democrats gave him a high approval rating, and 85% of Republicans. A lot of Democrats praise him for his religious liberty veto and for his criminal justice overhaul. And Republicans also favor his criminal justice overhaul, and also just say in general, they like the fact that he backed a sort of pro-business initiative throughout his tenure.
Greg, you mentioned the criminal justice overhauls that this governor has enacted in the last 8 years. What type of criminal justice system in Georgia is Governor Nathan Deal leaving for the next governor?
He's leaving one that diverts more nonviolent offenders away from more costly prison sentences and towards rehabilitation programs and treatment centers and other things that keep them out of jail and out of prisons and out of costly state budget funding, essentially. I mean, the state has saved more than $1 billion in corrections costs over the last 8 years. It has not had to build more prisons, like was feared when Governor Deal took office. The incarceration rates are lower. This last year of reforms had the makings to be his most difficult. You've already seen cities like Atlanta who are taking steps towards eliminating cash bail. On the statewide level, the governor embraced an initiative that gives judges more leeway to not ask for cash bail, keep more people out of jails. And the governor said that he's glad he went out on this note. But I asked him the other day if there's one thing that he really wished he could have tackled that he didn't. And he was very point blank about it. He said mandatory minimum sentences. And those are mandatory, let's say 10, 15, 20 year sentences for certain crimes that I think he would want more discretion for the judges to say, well, in this situation, maybe it's worth 8 years, not 15.
Greg Bluestein, thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
Greg Bluestein is a political reporter for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution and a panelist on GPB's Political Rewind. You can hear the latest political insight and analysis Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 2 on your GPB station.